I'm James Jacobson in Maui, Hawaii.
And I'm Claire Mansell in Ottawa, Canada.
Welcome to Dog Edition,
where voices from around the world consider all things dog.
Dog Edition is the first show designed for you to listen to while you walk your dogs.
Today on the show, dogs as healers, how the connection between canine and human can help mend the mind and maybe the body. And later on the show, I will share with you a traditional medicine cure for sore throats involving your pup. You're safe, Jim. I'm not going to make you drink it.
Whoa. I'm going to be listening. So you should too, because if you love dogs as much as we do, pause what you're doing, leash up your pup, and let's take a walk, because we've got a lot to talk about on today's episode of Dog Edition.
Hey, Pepper, want to go for a walk?
As we prepare for our fall season here on Dog Edition, we are reaching into our archives to pull segments that you may not have heard and we think are pretty special.
A few months ago, our reporter Olivia Bradley spoke to Ward Cyril about his transformative experience with his dog in the Alaskan wilderness. And can I just say that I love Ward's voice in this piece. It's so calming.
You're a dog lover. You know life is better with your best friend by your side. But have you ever stopped to think, maybe having dogs makes you better? I'm not talking about dog people as a superior demographic. No, I mean that maybe dogs are capable of helping us grow. I spoke with Ward Cyril, the award-winning writer and director of critically acclaimed documentary The Heart of the Game. He's made more than 90 short films, but Ward wasn't always the prolific artist he is today. Ward's new memoir, To Crack the World Open, Solitude, Alaska, and a Dog Named Woody, tells a human story of healing and self-discovery guided by canine companionship. Here's Ward.
I was a three-piece suited accountant, a CPA, riding the elevators of skyscrapers in downtown Seattle and wondering, you know, how did I get here? And one time in a meeting, when I heard one of the partners say this word, Alaska, and something in my soul just lit up. And so pretty soon there I was with my audit bags, you know, riding the Alaska State Ferry and going up to these remote villages, Tlingit and Haida villages, and the gourmet air and water of Alaska just knocked me between the eyeballs and never let up. And I knew I had to figure out a way to stay up there.
Sounds like a beautiful setting for a story. Could you tell me a little bit about your book?
My book is an adventure-driven story of an exile from corporate America, me. It's a search for freedom. It's about an adventure in Alaska, and it's about dog as co-pilot into solitude to discover self. Woody was the first creature I knew who didn't come pressed into a box. His body was built of interfitting furry triangles, triangle ears, triangle head, triangle nose, the triangles of his legs when he walked, all arrayed along a horizontal cylinder. Woody was a magnificent rolling wave of spontaneous canine geometry. The minute you step into solitude, as I did, and living in an abandoned cabin, then some part of it is outward adventure, and then some part of it becomes an inward-facing journey. I was actually seeking a form of personal freedom outside the force field of my family and culture that it, I felt, warped me into an unrecognizable form. And so I was just heading out away from all of that. And I started to bump up against parts of me that were damaged. And I had the courage to look into those because of the dog.
And what did you find?
It's not easy to talk about, but I do believe that experiences within the womb can be traumatic. And in my case, 4 months before being born, my mom tried to kill herself. Something happened at that moment. And after I was born, she was unable to show physical affection. So I wasn't physically touched. I was literally bundled away by the nurses. And I don't remember any instance of skin-to-skin contact in my youth. I grew up touch-deprived to a level of unhealthiness that affected me my whole life. And I wasn't at all aware of the impact of those things in my early 20s when I ran off to Alaska. I just knew something was wrong and I had to like get away from everybody and everything to try to figure that out. And Woody gave me the courage to start exploring that. You know, here I was running away from culture and running away from society and alone in a cabin with a dog and starting to come into terms with understanding that that had happened to me and how it formed me. Being body to body with another creature really gave me a chance for my central nervous system really to regulate and realize, wow, this is touch. It's okay. And, you know, it's a step away from human touch, reaching out for it and receiving it. And that was to come. But it began with Woody, this creature that really accepted me being able to sometimes just lie down with his body, you know, somehow touching mine. That was revelatory to me. I was just like, you know, I'd breathe with him. Dogs can reflect our tendencies and so be a mirror for self-reflection where all healing begins. We can see ourselves in them, I believe.
So what exactly did Woody show you in yourself? What was in your reflection?
You know, I had moments of anger and I started to look into those moments of anger and find that that was my dad. I started to be towards Woody as my dad was towards me, and I caught that.
Could you say a little more about that?
I was pursuing a personal, profound sense of freedom. And so I allowed him to be a free roaming dog, and we were out in country where that could be. Well, he started to come and go as he wished. He would stay out longer and longer. And I would sometimes, you know, get angry about that, or he'd take off and I'd just, you know, start seething. And I caught myself doing that once in a kind of an extreme way where I was about to hit him. I caught myself mid-strike and said, "Oh my God, look at me." And I felt my dad in the cabin at that moment. I laid down on the cabin floor and I held Woody and I promised him I would never, you know, hit him again. And I didn't for the rest of our days together. Any dog can reflect aspects of us that we need to tend to, care for, love. I think they reflect both conscious and unconscious parts of ourselves. And it's not a coincidence that a lot of dogs and owners look alike. It's not a coincidence that some of a human's neurotic tendencies appear in dogs. You know, high-strung or tightly wired people often have dogs of same. So I think they also can reflect our potentialities. They are mirrors to patience. They're mirrors to acceptance. They're mirrors to readiness for what is of being in the present and for asking for what they want. My journey to Alaska with Woody was a rite of passage. It involved a movement through a series of ordeals that resulted in ultimately me returning to the world, not as an accountant or business guy, but as an artist. You know, I started to do public radio. I started to do theater. I started to do poetry. I started to do all these other things, filmmaking. That all happened up in Alaska. So, you know, from accounting to art.
We'll be right back.
And now, a message from your dog.
Every day with you is like a day at the beach. And I want as many beach days as possible. I want to run and sniff and find a good stick to carry. I want to roll in the grass and warm my belly in the sun. I want to walk with you, run with you, sleep with you, eat with you. And when I eat with you, I want Everpup. The green, grassy, beef liver spiked smell wakes my senses. You may not realize this, but it tastes like homemade gravy, especially when you wet it. It infuses any food you give me with health and life and vibrancy. I can feel it, Everpup, traveling to every cell in my body, nourishing each one. Does it roll back time? Of course not, not really, but it helps me feel like I'm on top of the world. I'm so glad you're giving it to me every day, because every day I'm so glad to be with you. I'm so grateful to be your dog, and for the Everpup you give me.
So now that you know what your dog wants, get Everpup, the ultimate dog supplement. Everpup is available in select pet shops and on Amazon. But to get the best price possible, join the Everpup Club at everpupclub.com, where you'll get your first jar for just $8 with free shipping anywhere in the U.S. Go to everpupclub.com and use the discount code DPN. That is everpupclub.com. Everpup, every day.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to Dog Edition. So Ward Serrell demonstrated that, you know, his dog, Woody, was perfect medicine for him. But Claire, you teased at the beginning of this show that you had some other ways that dogs could provide medicine for us.
Well, yeah, it really got me thinking about how dogs are very much used for our mental health at the moment. But if you look back in history, they've been used for our physical health, which has obviously sort of fallen out of favor. And this was sparked a little bit by, I don't know if you're familiar with the TV show Outlander.
Sing me a song of love.
I have seen it. I don't follow it very well, though.
Well, part of the storyline for that, for anyone who hasn't seen it, is it's somebody who goes back in time, and she has been a doctor in the 20th century, and she goes back and she's using sort of natural cures. And in one of the episodes, they used a dog-related product for something, and it just made me think, I wonder how many of those recipes and how much they use dog-related things back in the 17th century. So I came across this recipe for a cure for a sore throat. And you'll definitely like the first two ingredients, and then we'll get into what the third ingredient is and the logic behind it.
Okay, let me get out my recipe book and write this down. So first ingredient is
1 pint of beer of the strongest and oldest available.
1 pint strong and old beer. Okay, I guess it would be British because it would be warm. Fine. Done. Check.
Okay. 2 spoons of Melrosetum. Now, that was what they used to call honey back in the day.
2 spoons Mel. No, we'll just do honey.
This is like the warm lemon and honey thing that we do now for sore throats. Okay. Just involving beer.
Okay. So we got our old stale warm British beer and 2 spoons of honey. And the third ingredient?
Okay, now just reach into your, you know, apothecary and draw out 6 pieces of Album Graysome.
Album Graysome. I think I may be low on that. What is Album Graysome?
Well, you know, any fans of Latin might remember that album it's sort of related to white. So that's the first bit. Uh-huh. But actually, it is dry white dog feces. Sorry about that. And the logic behind why they would use it is because they fed dogs a lot of bones, and so it was very rich in phosphate. So it did have some sort of mineral properties to it that were good. It's not just a horrible, you know, medicine. It did have some properties that were good. Hmm.
I think I'm going to forego the Album Graysome, but I'm so glad that dogs could contribute to this tonic. So once I mix these 3 ingredients, I'm supposed to ingest this?
Well, let me tell you about the method and how you would do this. So you would put it all together. You would cook the ingredients over a gentle fire. You know, this is probably like almost like a cauldron over an open fire until the liquid reduced to half its volume. Okay. The liquid then had to be strained and sieved. That was to get the lumpy bits out of the Album Graysome, you know, you'd just get that completely out of there, before being administered to the patient, either consumed by the spoonful or by rinsing it in the mouth. And I'm very tempted to do that sound effect, just to give you all the mental image. Hang on. That's my Album Graysome. Lovely.
Excellent. And you chugged it. And it's really nice. But I think I may not use that tonic. But it's good to know that this was this considered like pretty commonplace in the 17th century?
Apparently so. I mean, you have to use your imagination. There were no medicines freely available. They relied on what they had at the time. And I guess there was a lot of honey and beer and dog poop.
Excellent. Now, in the course of your research on this delicious recipe, you've uncovered some other things from back then.
Yeah, here's a really nice one. Not so nice if you had the physical problem, but if you had an intestinal obstruction, then the recommendation from this expert in folklore medicine, Thomas Sydenham, was that he instructed that you would use a live puppy and it would be laid on your naked belly for 2 or 3 days. I don't know how the puppy would stay there for that long.
Sit, stay, yes, 2 or 3 days.
Yeah, two or three days. The puppy would then keep you warm. So it's like using a hot water bottle, which of course they didn't have at the time. But also, because this was the 17th century and they didn't kind of think entirely logical, they thought that not just that it was warm, but also that the obstruction would then sort of magically transfer from your own belly to the dog, which isn't so good.
Okay. Well, I may not be doing that because I wouldn't want to give my dog anything that I was dealing with. That's a great folk cure. I think we may also not be using that anymore.
I'm quite liking the idea of saying, instead of getting a hot water bottle if I had a problem, to say, get me a live puppy, please. I must not move for 2 days.
My dog has laid by my ankles when I had a sprained ankle. And so she knew that and provided warmth there. And similarly, when it was, how do I say, that time of the month, Kanga would also provide warm puppy vibes to my wife. So I can see that there is some use of that to this very day.
And environmentally friendly, you know, no rubber hot water bottles and things. It's great. No. It could really catch on.
And they're very happy to do this. Does Maple do that for you?
Maple hasn't had an opportunity yet, but we certainly had a beagle called Bella. And beagles are such lovely, affectionate dogs anyway. And I remember when I had real morning sickness with my son and I spent a lot of time lying on the sofa, that she was always right next to me on the sofa for all of that time. It's so much so that we called her Nurse Bella.
Wow.
And the other thing is, I'm sure you've heard this as sort of a myth that's even to this day kind of persists, which this is this idea of dogs licking your wounds and the saliva sort of helping the wounds to heal. I mean, they certainly enjoy doing it, don't they? If you've got a cut, they will lick your hand or whatever.
Right. I hear the thing that, oh, dog saliva is cleaner than our own saliva, but I don't think that is empirically true. I think that's been proven to be an old wives' tale.
I think pretty much it's one of those things they say, don't go there anymore. But certainly in the 17th century, it was something that wounds and ulcers, and by that I think they're thinking external ulcers rather than ones in your mouth, they would use a dog to lick them, mm-hmm. and that would help cure the wounds. And here's another one for you. Have you heard of the phrase hair of the dog? This might be a British thing. I'm not sure.
I've heard about it. It's like when you're hungover, you have a drink the next morning, a bit of the hair of the dog that bit you to overcome your hangover. I don't know how effective that is either. But what is the etymology behind that?
Well, there is actual logic, and this comes again from traditional medicine, which is that if you were bitten by a rabid dog, they would take the hair of the dog and put it in the wound that the dog had made to help heal it, supposedly.
Also, modern science at its best. Wow. Okay, so take a hair of a rabid dog after he bites you, and that will cure the rabies.
So after it's bitten you, you then have to chase it round, catch it, and remove some hair.
Come back here and let me get one of your little hair follicles. Well, I imagine that it's nice to see that modern medicine moves forward and some of these things are no longer applicable. In any case, dogs are great medicine, and I think that's a good place for us to pause this week. And I want to thank you for joining us on today's episode and bringing Dog Edition along with you on your walk. We will be back soon with another episode of Dog Edition, but chances are you and your dog will be taking a walk between now and then. And so we have other things for you to listen to.
If you're interested in hearing more from some of our guests, please check out DPN's sister show, The Long Leash, for Jim's extended conversations.
If you'd like to hear more from Ward Serrell, listen to our episode that I did with Ward Serrell. It's called Dogs as Therapists, and we will have a link to that episode in today's show notes.
And follow Dog Edition in your favorite podcast app so you can take us along on your dog walk next time. I'm Claire Mansell in Ottawa, Canada.
And I'm James Jacobson here in Maui, Hawaii. Thank you for listening today. On behalf of all of us here at Dog Podcast Network, I want to wish you and your dog a very warm aloha.
Is artificial intelligence going to change veterinary medicine? Well, it already has. Right now, on Dog Cancer Answers, we're speaking with Dr. Kelly Deal of Morris Animal Foundation about how AI is impacting veterinary research and the practice of medicine itself. That's on Dog Cancer Answers. Get it wherever you get your podcasts or at dogcancer.com/podcast.